You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, going to look at the first four verses of that passage. Like many of you here in the Dallas area, I woke up this morning to a thunderstorm. So very early this morning, I felt the house shake and you could hear the rain pouring outside. And that was a little bit before my alarm went off. And so I just laid there. I love Easter Sunday morning. And so I just laid there and I contemplated before I got up how my life might look had Jesus not saved me. And so I love looking at, gazing at, and marveling at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I can still, 23 years into following Jesus Christ, can remember what it's like to not fully understand it. I don't mean the facts around it. Like even before I became a Christian, I knew that Easter was a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. But even after my salvation, what exactly did the death and then the resurrection of Jesus actually mean for me in regards to everyday life? Like how is that? Yes, my forgiveness is there, but how is the strength and the power to live into the kingdom of God made available in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And so here's my hope today. Here's my plan. I simply want us to look at this passage, and I'm hopeful that for the first time ever for many of us, I can help you understand why this resurrection is such a huge deal for you and me, not just in some sort of ethereal sense, but why this matters tomorrow morning and the next morning and all day, every day, for all the days of our lives. And so with that said, let's dive into Colossians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, what's happening in this passage is the Apostle Paul is combating some false teaching that is going on in the church of Colossae. And what's happened is some false teachers are saying, hey, with your kind of willpower and with great discipline, you can mortify the flesh or you can behave in such a way that is pleasing to God. And so the answer to this kind of false teaching for the Apostle Paul is for us to gaze and marvel at and be blown away by Jesus Christ. Really, throughout the book, the great theme is look at Jesus, marvel at Jesus, be blown away by Jesus. And yet, in this passage, there are things being said about Jesus that I think are really important for us to know and understand, that Jesus died. We see that in this passage, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he was raised again in a physical, glorified, beautified body. And we also see in this passage that Jesus is going to return in all his glory and make all things new, expose God's redemptive plan for the universe to all that is. But what he's doing in this passage in particular is he's grabbing us by the face, if you will, and he's showing us where we are in light of what Christ has done. So let's look back at the passage, and I'm going to emphasize some points in the passage. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, what's happening in this passage is what Augustine would call withness, and it's the theological terms of either union or participation, and it's why this is such a huge deal for us that Christ has risen from the grave. The idea is that you and I are participating with, or we have union with, or withness with Jesus in his death, resurrection, ascension, and return. This is a common theme in the Bible and is necessary if you and I are going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit into ultimate reality or into the kingdom of God. Let me show you just a few of these passages. This is Romans 6, verses 6 through 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Did you hear it again? With him. Our old self crucified with Jesus on the cross in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now you need to hear this. This is saying that when Christ died on the cross, we, our former lives, died with him. All right, that's going to be huge here in a moment. I'm going to lay this out as this participation being the pathway to freedom here in a moment. Galatians 2:20, a wildly and widely loved and known passage in the New Testament. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. Do you hear what the Apostle Paul's doing? I'm dead. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but there's something living through me. And I'm living it by faith in the Son of God because he loves me and he gave himself up for me. And then also earlier in this very book, in Colossians 2:11 through 14, it says this. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Jesus Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your faith, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now, I could keep going here. We could keep adding verses to this. The idea of participation is everywhere in the Bible. It's where we should be rooted as the people of God. It is what, if you're not a Christian, you're being invited into participation in the life, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of the universe. I love this quote from Doug Moo. He says, the past experience of dying with him and being raised with him is the basis for our present status as people whose heavenly identity is real and secure, yet hidden. And an identity that will be gloriously manifested in the future. And so this participation in the death of Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus, and in the return of Jesus is the pathway to freedom in life. Whatever kind of angsty, gutsy sorrow you're walking in, whatever emptiness you're walking in, the pathway to freedom is not self-actualization. The pathway to freedom isn't a better version of yourself. The pathway to freedom is not greater discipline, greater money, bigger houses, nicer cars, the end of this pandemic. These are not the path to freedom. The path to freedom is in participation. And let me try to outline why that's true. By participating in the life, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ, our past failures, sins, brokenness, the things that we're most ashamed of, the things that might haunt us even to this day, have died with Jesus Christ on the cross. Several years ago, I was invited to speak down in the Houston area at Clear Creek Community Church there in Clear Creek. And I thought it'd be a good idea after the session that I preached, before the second session I was preaching, to hop in the car and drive down to where I graduated from high school down on the coast there, Texas City, Lamarck area. And I was going to just go and take some pictures of a couple of the houses that we lived in and then show my kids when I got back here to Dallas. And so I went down, and as I was driving into town, we passed this field that I got in just a terrible fight with another guy, and I began to feel the shamefulness of my former life. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but then I drove a little further, and we drove past this house where I'd been a part of a party there that was really, really grotesque and despicable, and I began to physically feel dirty. I got a little nauseous in my stomach. And man, as I drove around just trying to take pictures of the houses that I was in to show my children, my past started showing up, and the enemy began to once again whisper into my heart how unworthy I am, how unclean I am. In fact, there were these very vivid kind of images in my head of things that I had been a part of that now in my heart, the enemy was whispering to me how disqualified I was, how unworthy I was. Actually, I began to feel like a hypocrite, like I was about to drive up to Clear Creek, which is about 30, 40 minutes away, and preach again on the beauty of Jesus and the goodness of gospel. And yet here I am condemning myself anew, but because of things that haunted me. Maybe you've got that. Maybe you even can feel it right now. There are these moments in our past that have really messed up our present and put our future in doubt for us. Well, the reason participation is the pathway to freedom is the Bible's telling us, this passage is telling us that Matt Chandler, that you put in your name, that person, that died on the cross of Jesus Christ. So all of those moments, that field, that house, that party, that situation, that grotesque thing that I was a part of, that's dead. Like Matt Chandler in that form, he no longer exists. That Matt Chandler is dead. The past taken care of fully, freely, forever in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is what you're being invited into. This is what participation means, that my past has been wiped clean. You saw it in the Colossians 2 passage, that the record of debt has been canceled. It's canceled. It's gone. That you are holy and blameless in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ. This is what participation invites us into. Now, the second thing is this moves us from our past into our present. So how is participation the pathway to freedom? Well, our past is fully, freely, and forever forgiven. It's just done. Canceled is the record of debt. But it also now begins to speak to our present reality. All of us, even in this moment, even those of us who are justified in Jesus Christ right now, pure in Jesus Christ right now, we still have these compulsions towards the sinful nature. We've got these compulsions, and the process of sanctification is about growing into who we actually are. And that means that in the interim, in this space between now and that last verse that we're in Colossians, when Christ reveals ultimate reality, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall, we're going to fail, we're going to make mistakes. And what's imperative for you and I to get in participation, in union with Jesus Christ, in our witness with Jesus, is that present struggle, that present failure, those present broken bits and pieces of us can be brought into the presence of Jesus because they have also, like our past, been fully paid for in Jesus Christ. See, to participate in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is to lay not just our past at His feet, but our present at His feet. I've tried to argue from the first bits of time that someone gave me a microphone to preach the Bible, that you'll understand how much you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ by what you do when you're actively failing right now. When you rebel right now, when you stumble right now, when you blow it right now, will you turn and go towards Him, or do you run and try to clean yourself up? Like if you go, let me run and clean myself up before I come to Jesus, you don't understand what Jesus meant on the cross when He said, "It is finished. It's done." He wasn't saying He was finished. He was saying our life of sin and death and rebellion, it's finished. Jesus effectively killed the power of sin and death over your life. He has. So my friend John Stark up in New York City, he said to think about it like a python having its head cut off and then thrown in tight quarters. It might thrash about, it might move around, it might knock you down, but it can't kill you. And so you have the power via the Holy Spirit inside of you to walk in victory over sin. That's something you did not possess before you participated in the life, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. You can walk in freedom. Doesn't mean there's not a fight. In fact, many of us need breakthrough. We need spiritual. We need the Holy Spirit to break something loose in us. We need to bring that to Jesus and ask for His healing power. We need to continue to walk in His grace, knowing that God will transform us over time. Gosh, I feel like I straddle these two worlds. One world just wants breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. One's like, no, slow process, slow process. And I just want to argue that most of the most powerful, transforming parts of God's work in your life will be unfelt and realized without you fully knowing it over a period of 10, 12, 15, 20 years. But from time to time, by His grace, the Holy Spirit breaks into our little broken bits and He heals at a quickened pace. And so I want you to continue to walk in the victory that's been given to you in Jesus Christ, in the presence of Jesus, witness, union, participation. And so my past has been fully, freely, and forever forgiven. And my present reality for all my shortcomings and failures also died with Jesus Christ on the cross. Because if He did not account for my present failures and fears and struggles and rebellions, then He would still be in the ground. But He's not in the ground. He has risen, which means His victory over sin was so complete that He wasn't just handling my sin before I surrendered to Him and began to participate with Him, but rather His working is so massive that it even covers my present struggles. Right now, He's not disgusted with me. He's not disgusted with you. He knew what He was buying on the cross. The cross stands as this public declaration that He knew you would need Him now, not just your past, but your present. And then that takes me to the last piece, which is, what do you think? If participation being the pathway to freedom means that our past fully, freely, and forever forgiven, and our present fully, freely, and forever forgiven, what does that mean is next? That's right, your future. Now, almost all fear and anxiety isn't present-based, it's future-based. And especially in this season, like, what's going to come of my job? Will we have enough funds? How is this going to look for my children? What are we going to do about this? How are we going to... All fear and anxiety is future-based. And yet, what's happening in this passage is we're seeing that union with Christ, participation with Jesus, witness in Christ is so complete in His resurrection and then ultimately return that even our future is secure in Jesus. Here's what I know about me. I've been following Jesus for over 20 years with my whole heart, as best I know, heart laid before Jesus. I've been trying to get after it by His grace, by the power of the Spirit, longing to be all that He would have me be in Christ. I know I will still stumble and fall. And if I'm not careful in those stumbles, I'll believe, because that stumble that's future now will all of a sudden be present. And if I'm not careful, that present struggle will lead to me condemning myself and become a past struggle that then begins to inform my present and create more fears for my future. And yet, union, participation, is the pathway to freedom, because I just know. I know I'm secure. I know I cannot out-sin the cross of Jesus Christ. I know I can't out-sin the resurrected Jesus' finished work for me. This is what I'm invited into. And then this, by the grace of God, frees me up to live into ultimate reality. This is what that last verse, look there in Colossians, let's look at verse 4 together. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So not only are you participating in the destruction of sin and death, but when Christ returns, the second return of Christ, right? The return of He cracks open the sky in all His glory, this time not as a baby, but a ruling, reigning, sovereign King. When that happens, you will also be revealed for what you are. You who are with Christ, you who share in the life of Christ, you who share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you who share in the return and glorious reign of Jesus Christ, you will be revealed for what you are. Now that means right now, and the reason I loved the quote from Doug Moo earlier is the little sentence that said, a people whose heavenly identity is real and secure, yet hidden. What does he mean by this? Well, he means that you just can't see. I just can't see right now, but by faith, the glorious state that I'm actually in, the glorious state that you as a Christian are actually in. And so that verse we just read in verse 4 of Colossians 3 is about one day it being revealed what we actually are. Co-heirs with Christ, fully, freely, and forever forgiven, past, present, future, held together by the participation of life in Christ, death in Christ, resurrection in Christ, and then ultimately at the return of Jesus Christ, the glorification of our bodies and spirits in Christ. And so Colossians is going to argue, how do you seek the things that are above? Well, the first thing he says is to set your heart on the things that are above, right? Or seek the things that are above. This literally means set your heart on. Now this, if you're a member of the village, this is our language. It's not just our language, but it's certainly language we hit on a lot. Like what's our whole mission, right? That we exist to love God, love people, and make disciples of Jesus Christ. We talk at length what it would look like to embody this reality. What would it look like to embrace this and embody this, right? So to set your heart on things that are above goes right into what we've been preaching here for the last 6 months, if not last decade. What would it be like to orient our entire lives around loving Jesus more deeply, considering Jesus more fully? What would it look like to look at all the flow of my day and go, I want to order my day in such a way that I am perpetually and continually orienting my heart around loving Jesus Christ more? What's stirring my affections? What's robbing me of affections? How do I orient my life, my mind, my free time, my money, my family, my home, my work around loving Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is saying. Hey, lean into ultimate reality, the one that will one day be revealed. You are loved by Christ. You are forgiven by Christ. You are a son and daughter of God Most High. You've been adopted into the family of grace. Live like it. Get your heart up there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Lean into ultimate reality, not the things that are below that will one day not be what they appear to be now. See, a big home, a nice body, money in the bank, all of that might look appealing now, but it's not ultimate reality. It will fade. It will vanish. It will no longer be here. And at the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming, at His return, what looks to be beautiful will be shown for what it is. And according to Doug Moo, what looks to be kind of sad and pathetic will be revealed for what it is. And he also says not just to seek the things that are above or literally to set your heart, but he also says to set your minds on the things that are above. So now you've got this dance of the heart and the mind, which we talk about often here. But we talked about this even a couple of weeks ago on a live stream since the pandemic began. Like, what does it look like to, with your redeemed imagination, set your minds on things that are above where Christ is? So we're fixed on ultimate reality. We're leaning into a love relationship with Jesus Christ, friendship with Jesus, being loved by Jesus, forgiven by Jesus, empowered by the Spirit of Jesus, future secure, present struggles covered, past is dead and gone. And now I'm waiting for ultimate reality to be revealed to the universe and even to me. And while we wait in this, our mindset should be above where Christ is, who is your life, setting our hearts, setting our minds. What does it look like to set your minds? What do you dwell on? This is a question we asked a couple of weeks ago. Like, what do you dwell on? Are you rightly, even in this moment, thinking about your past? Are you rightly, even in this moment, thinking about your present? Are you rightly, even in this moment, considering your future that is so secure in Jesus Christ? Listen, I have no prophetic word about what is to come over the next year, over the next 2 years, over the next 3 years. Just no idea the repercussions of all of this. But here's what I can tell you, Christian. Your life is secure in Jesus. He has died, He has resurrected, and He will return. And you're with Him in all of that. And so here's my appeal to you. Christian, that you might live the power of the resurrection, that you might live in the power of the resurrected life. We are a resurrected people, and that your mind and heart might reflect that, especially in these days. And yet I would pray that always you have that joy firing in your heart. And here today, if you're not a Christian, and somehow you've tuned into this, maybe somebody sent you the link, maybe, gosh, I don't know, you just clicked on it, maybe YouTube pushed it to you. I don't know how you saw it today, how you're watching it today. I don't even know what day it is for you watching this. I want you to hear me say this, that this participation in the life, death, and return of Jesus Christ is available to you right now. It's available to you. You have not outsinned the power of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't outsin the power of the cross. He says it's finished. It doesn't matter what your present struggle is. I know so many people that would just go, I struggle with this, so I'm disqualified. And I wish I had more time to just point you to how many people are struggling with some really horrific things when Jesus saves them. The Bible says that when we are at our worst, Christ died for us. And so this participation is available to you today. Maybe you kind of knew, maybe you knew what the facts of Easter. Yeah, we're celebrating that Jesus has come back from the grave, and that makes some kind of difference for Christians. And I'm trying to appeal to you today that it makes all the difference for you too, friend. It can make all the difference for you too, friend. It can reset the trajectory of your life. It can reset the trajectory of generations to come as you just say, I'm saying yes to participating in the life, death, and ultimate return of Jesus Christ. And so how do you do that? Well, the Spirit of God would be right now compelling your heart to say yes to Jesus. It's not behavioral modification for you. It's not, okay, do this now, do this. No. It's that thing that's happening in your heart right now where you feel a longing to do this, where you feel this longing to say yes, to finally, maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe you did something at your church when you were an 8-year-old, but it wasn't really like that. That longing in your heart right now to say, I want my past to be dead. I want my present struggles to be empowered, and I want to be revealed in glory on that day to simply say yes to Jesus Christ, to trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins, to finally surrender to Him. You probably are feeling some of that because you have realized you are a crummy, crummy God. Like you're just not good at running your own life. And so Jesus is here. The power of the Holy Spirit is here to say, I'll run it. Submit, surrender. My burden is easy. My yoke is light, is what Jesus says. Come to me. Come and surrender to me. I will show you life and life to the full. So it looks like surrendering to Jesus. And you can see there on our webpage, if you do that today and you just say a simple prayer of, I want to say yes to you, Jesus. Will you, after you finish watching this, will you click on our I Want to Become a Christian link, fill that out so we can be praying with you. If you're still a little confused at what I'm talking about, there's a short video there that you can watch. I just would appeal to you to no longer live in shame and guilt, but step into the joy of knowing that that shameful part of us died with Jesus Christ on the cross. And this life we're now living, we don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. That through ongoing progressive sanctification or through Holy Ghost breakthrough, we're going to walk in victory over our sin. And now we wait for ultimate reality to be revealed to the entirety of the universe. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the men and women who have joined us today or maybe are watching this weeks or months from now. Thank you that you have invited us into the life of Jesus, given us the power of the Holy Spirit to live out the life of Jesus, and that you will one day reveal ultimate reality to the universe, and we will be found in Him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes by good works, but having a righteousness that's been given to us by Jesus Christ, that has us holy, spotless, blameless in His sight. We bless your name. We bless the resurrected Jesus. Amen.